minutes. I didn't ask if it was well in your bank account. I didn't ask if it was even well in your body. Is it well in your soul? Amen. I'm glad I can say tonight it is well with my soul. I like what Jesus told his disciples when they came back rejoicing because devils were subject to him. He said, rather rejoice because your name's written. Amen. I'm glad my name's written. Amen. And if it's not written, it can be written tonight before you leave this place. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go with me, if you would, please, to 1 Timothy. This little bottle of water for me. Praise the Lord. I don't know what it was driving from North Carolina to Virginia, but I feel like I swallowed some cotton somewhere. Between the two states. Amen. It is a privilege, though, to be here. I'm thankful for the opportunity. For the Jones family, condolences. First time I've seen you since your dad passed. This church is used to word-centered preaching. And so it's a privilege to stand in this pulpit and to share the Word of God. Your present pastor and your former pastor that's now at Landmark, I count both of them as friends, and I am thankful for some young men now that are carrying the torch. Brother Austin, Sister Kristen's here. I appreciate Brother Austin. I appreciate young men that are picking up the torch and carrying the torch, Brother Wesley and others. It encourages me. I'm 58 years old, so they've probably got more time left than I do, unless the Lord gives me a life like Brother Jones, I guess. Maybe not. I'm thankful. It encourages me when I see people pick up the torch and go forth with it. And I think if there was ever a time in the Pentecostal holiness circles, we need some young men to pick up the torch, some couples to be willing to go forward. It is the day in which we live in. Amen. And I'm thankful for that that is happening. If you go, just stand for the reading of God's Word. The Lord laid something on my heart some time back when Brother Shane asked me if I could come. I kept asking the Lord if this was what he wanted. And I find it interesting that it falls on the week that we've had some tragedy in our country. But God knows what he's doing. God knows his perfect timing is always that, just his perfect timing. Amen. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul writing to his son in the faith, and as he's writing to his son in the faith, he shares some things. And I want us to go, let's start over around verse 5. And then we'll get the context of where I'm going to be going in 11 and 12. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Listen to verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Let that sink in. You didn't bring anything in, you're not going to take anything out. I heard a long time ago, the only thing you can take to heaven with you is people. The only thing you can take. I want to take some with me, by the way. And then he says, and having food and raiment, let us be therefore with content. And they that which will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11 and 12 is where I want to hone in on. But thou, O man of God, speaking to Timothy, flee these things and follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold onto eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. With the Lord's help tonight, I want to preach on a simple topic. Flee, follow, and fight. Flee, follow, and fight. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful tonight for the privilege of being back at Abundant Life. I'm thankful, Lord, for the privilege of standing behind this sacred desk. Lord, I know I've been in the ministry long enough to know, God, I cannot do this without your touch. And Lord, I'm asking that you would anoint me, hide me behind the cross of Calvary. I pray that the Spirit would help me to say no more or no less than that he would allow. And Lord, that you would help us tonight to receive your word. And I pray that your Spirit, the Lord, would rest upon our hearts and our minds and our ears. And God, that your will would be accomplished around these altars tonight. We love you, God, and give you praise, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Flee, follow, and fight. I want to go over about four verses about what we need to flee from, as there's just one in here. But I want us to look at some verses, and then we'll get to this one. I'm not going to read all the verses for sake of time. I don't know what you all are used to for time-wise. I'm WPC, so we're used to hour and a half, but I mean, I'll try not to hold you that long. Western Pentecostal Church, y'all know Brother Woods, y'all know Brother also, y'all know Brother Messer and them, they preach, they're long-winded. I'll try my best not to be that long-winded, but I do want to deliver what the Lord laid on my heart. And I want us to, 1 Corinthians 6:18. I'm just going to take the little phrase out that I want to talk about. It says, flee fornication. Flee. There are some sins you don't just resist. There are some things you need to run from. There are some things you need to stay away from. There are some things you don't need to play with. And I noticed Paul said, flee fornication, that's sexual immorality. Stay away from it, run from it, flee from it. And I'm going to go ahead and make a statement. We've had too many men in Pentecostal holiness circles that have fallen to this sin. And there's not a one of us here tonight, as long as there's blood flowing in your veins, where you're not, it could not happen to you. So it says flee. 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 Run. Get away from. Just as Joseph did, and he left his coat in her hands. He ran. He got out. He knew that it was dangerous, and he ran from it. He said, I want you to flee. He said, I want you to flee. No, go to 1 Corinthians 10:14. It also says not only flee fornication. Here's Paul writing again. Paul said, I want you to flee idolatry. Flee. Run. What is idolatry? Anything you put before God. Not just idols that we bow down to. We don't do that in America. We're too sophisticated to bow down to an idol. But we do have idols in America. We have idols in the holiness churches. We have idols in Pentecostal churches. And we need to be careful that we don't put anything before God. Now, we know the first one. That's pretty good. You know, flee fornication. Oh, Brother Hay, none of us having that problem. But how about it? Have you ever put anything before God? Have you ever put anything before God? You cannot put your wife before God. You can't put your husband before God. You can't put your children before God. You can't put a church building before God. You can't put tradition before God. You have to make sure that there's... I'm going to go... Lord, help me tonight. I might get myself in trouble. You can't put a standard before God. I believe in a holiness standard, but I'm here to tell you there's some people today who think they're all right just because they look right. You're not all right because you look right. You're all right because you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and your heart is pure before God. You're all right when you get up from an altar and you're in sin and you get up and you're saved. You're all right. And you say, Brother Hayden, you preach it. No, I'm not preaching against holiness. You saw, I believe in it. But I'm here to tell you, I've seen it. I see it. I'm around it. I see people who talk about it. And it's almost like I'm okay because I look okay. You're not okay because you look okay. The Pharisees was as strict as a sect you could ever get in religion. And Jesus told them they were whitewashed sepulchers. They had it all right. Had all the dots. All, everything. Cross T's and dot I's, and they yet their heart was far from God. He said, flee from fornication. Flee. from idolatry. And then the verse I'd read, it says, flee from the love of money. How many know you got to make money in order to survive? I mean, you have to. All of us, how many got jobs? How many retired from a job? I wish. In the morning when that alarm goes off at 5 o'clock, I'm not going to like it too much. But the Bible says, and he says it here, I want you to, he told his son in the faith. Pastor, he talks about all about, you know, that some people believe that gain is godliness. Do you know there's such thing as a prosperity gospel in America today? They believe in name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. They believe that if you lay, you lay, claim it, and then it's yours. And that's, I'm telling you, it's creeping over into the holiness movement. I'm blessed because of my job. I'm blessed because, and you are. I'm blessed because I've got this bank account and I've got this investment, and I, nothing wrong with all that. But I'm here to tell you, Job said the Lord gave and the Lord took away. And blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you still worship God if you lost everything? Can you still serve God if you lost everything? Would you still come to church if you lost everything? Hey, I'm just being honest, okay? Sometimes we don't realize what we've got. Sometimes if we're not careful, we will begin to focus on what other people have and compare ourselves with other people, and we forget the blessings of God you and I have. He said, I want you to flee from the love of money. Matter of fact, be content, it says, with what? Food and raiment. Ooh, that's pretty tough right there. How many got food in their cupboards at home? Got some in your freezer, got some in your cabinets, got some in your refrigerator. How many's got more than you need for this week? Unless you're just getting started and moved. maybe you don't, brother. But it says, you flee from the... And then, I want you to look, 2 Timothy 2:22. He said, I want you to flee youthful lust. Now you say, wait a minute, you just said fornication. No, the youthful lust here is more than giving into your hormones. Youthful lust here is the idea that you might be a young person and you don't want anybody over you. You might be a young person, but you don't want to have to answer to nobody. You might be a young person, but you don't want to have to, guess what? I don't care how old you get, you're going to answer to somebody. Can't get away from it. You can own your own business and you're still going to answer to somebody. I mean, anybody own their own business? You're going to, who are you going to answer to? The government? Your customers? You're going to answer to somebody. There's some things Paul said we need to flee from. Not toy with, not play with, not get around the, you know, the corners with. He said, I want you to flee. I want you to run. I want you to get as far away from it as you possibly can. You know, it bothers me, especially when I see young people. I see young people that sometime will play around with sin. They think it's cool. They think if I just, you know, I won't go all the way. I'm just going to stay around on the edges just a little bit. And, you know, I'm just going to play around just a little bit with it. I can control it. You're right, brother. You cannot control sin. Sin will control you. We have to make sure. Jesus made a statement, he that commits sin becomes the servant of sin. I would rather run. I would rather make sure that I run from away from the just that four list. No, but there's a whole lot more. What do you have to flee from? I'm asking you because I believe the Lord laid it on my... Maybe those four don't match you. Maybe there's something else in your life tonight that the Lord's been dealing with you about, and he's been telling you to run. He's been telling you, get away. He's been telling you, don't do that. He's been telling you, don't go there. He's been telling you... I'm just telling you, maybe that list don't fit you. Maybe you're pure. Maybe you're as holy as you can be. But there's something in your life that you know God's been dealing with you about. And I'm going to make a statement. Until you deal with what God's dealing with you about, you will go no further than what you are now in God. If God brings something to your attention, and you refuse to deal with what he brought to your attention. And you say, I'm just going to, you know, everybody else is doing it. That church down there is doing it. My brother's doing it. My sister's doing it. Everybody else is doing it. It doesn't matter if the whole Christian world is doing it. If God told you not to do it, guess what? If you do it, it's sin to you. You have to make sure, Lord, what do I need to flee from? What do I need to run from? What do I need to get away from? Some people need to get away from some friends. Some people need to change friends. Sometimes people need to change jobs. Sometimes God might move you to a new state. I mean, flee. What did you have to flee from? Maybe those four don't fit you, but God somewhere from time to time will bring things to your attention. How many of you have grown this year? How many of God dealt with you already this year? You know what? Every hand in this church should be as high as it can get. Because you know what? If he's not working on you, there's something wrong. If God's not moving you up the ladder, if God's not been stepping on your toes, if the word of God is not causing you to move up, I'm telling you, there's something wrong, because I'm 58. If the Lord Mayor Terry's is coming, I hope I make it to 68, 78, ever how long God wants. But until I die, I want to be growing. Until I die, I want to become more holy. Until I die, I want to become more Christ-like. So you look and said, there's things we need to flee from. And then he says, there's some things I need to follow. Not just flee. Is it all right if I take my jacket off? I'm going to make myself at home. Not only do you need to flee, you need to follow. Oh my. We have a problem. In Pentecostal holiness circles, we want to get away from a lot of things, but we don't want to follow after what they need to follow by. What good is it to get away with something, get away from something, if I don't fill it with something else? If I get rid of the negative, but I don't do something to replace it with, what's going to happen? Jesus had a principle. The devil got cast out of a man. And he teaches us, and he said that the enemy went out and he came back. And when he came back, he saw that the house was garnished and clean and swept. There was nothing there, Brother Ed. The enemy left, and he didn't ask anything to move in. He didn't ask the Spirit to move in. He didn't ask God to move in. He didn't ask Christ to move in. And when the enemy came back and he saw that it was still empty, he said, I'll go get seven more demons, more wicked than I am, and I'll come and move back in my house. What should I say, Brother Hayden? I'm trying to tell you, it's not enough just to get rid of things. I need to make sure that I'm following after the things of God like I should. We get lopsided sometimes. Oh, God, help me tonight. Help me, God. Sometimes we get lopsided. We are more known by what we're against than what we're for. What's your church stand for? And all we give them a list of what we don't do. No. What you stand for? What do you believe? Who are you in Christ? It's not what I don't do. It's who I am in Christ. Brother Hayden, let's look at the list. Follow. Romans 14:19 says, let us follow after the things which make for peace, things wherein one may edify another. Have you followed the idea of peace? Paul said, live peaceably with all men wherein is possible. And have you followed the idea that I need to edify my brother? I need to edify my sister. I need to lift up my brother. I need to lift up my sister. Why is it sometime that when we go through a trial and we're in a church, we feel like we must bury it all by ourselves? Why is that? Follow after peace. Follow after peace. The verse in Hebrews that we all love to quote, follow peace and holiness. We'll get to that later. But follow peace. Follow peace. I want there to be harmony. I want there to be unity. I want there to be harmony in the church. I want there to be unity in the church. I want to be able to come to a church that I haven't been to in a long time like tonight and feel the Spirit of God. And I feel the Spirit of God tonight. Why? Because like precious faith people don't mean you got to have the same name on the door. It means we got to have the same Jesus. It means we got to have the same Word of God. It means we got to have the same Spirit. If only people I can worship with is the one that has the same name on the door, I'd be in trouble as small as our organization is. We ain't got but like 3 or 4 churches. I'm glad that I can fellowship and go down to Brother Bunch's down in Edington. I'm glad I can come up here sometime and fellowship. I'm glad that I can go. I'm thankful for brothers and sisters. And it says, do what? Follow after that which is good, that which edifies. If you look, you say, Brother Hayden, peace. Follow after which is peace. Peace, you'll find it again. We ain't got time to go through. Peace, you'll find it in 2 Timothy again, 2:22, talking about peace. You'll find it in Hebrews 12:14. Follow after peace, edifying one another. Peace. Oh, peace among ourselves. But how about this? How about offering peace to those who don't have it? How about offering peace to those who don't have it? Oh, it was so beautiful this morning at our service in Elizabeth City. One of the brothers that have been sort of on the perimeter, staying out of church a little bit, just, got ready to dismiss service, and he just stopped and just said, I need prayer. I need to rededicate my life. Well, that just did it, brother. We just stopped everything, and everybody prayed. He rededicated his life to the Lord this morning. That was worth the whole service. To recommit his life to the Lord, to make sure that he's got peace with God, was worth the whole entire service. I thank God for it. I appreciate it that God worked on his heart like that. So follow after peace. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow after charity. Charity there is the idea of love. You'll find it again in 1 Timothy. We just read it. Follow after love. Follow after charity. Follow after. 2 Timothy also, 2:22. Follow after charity. By this shall men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Men know, women know. They come into this church, they come into some of our churches. I don't know how many churches we got represented here tonight, but we come into our churches and they should know that we love one another. Shouldn't be no schism in the body. Amen. They should know that that brother loves that brother, that sister loves that sister. And we don't just shake hands and say, I love you, brother. We actually mean it. We don't just say, I love it. No, we actually mean it. I felt it when I came here. I'm thankful for it. I've been in some churches, you don't feel it. I'm not, y'all evangelize. you go in some churches like, I'd pay someone to say amen. I'll pay someone almost to shake my hand. I mean, my goodness. Lord, get me out of here. Get me around some more people that worship the Lord. But I mean, this idea here, follow agape. What is agape love? Unconditional, sacrificial love. Not because love or if love, I love you if or I love you because you can do. No, sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. I'll lay myself down for you. I'll lay my life down for you. I'll die for you. Like Jesus did. Do you have that kind of love? Help me, Lord. The Lord gave me a thought a long, 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 long time ago, and it just came back to my heart. Thank you, Lord. Holiness without love is like a rose bush with no roses. Holiness without love is like a rose bush with no roses. All I can do is prick people. But I want them to see Jesus. I want there to be roses. I want the bush. I want them to see that holiness is attractive. Amen. Amen. Holiness is attractive. Living right with God is attractive. Amen. And I want people to see that. That when we look and you say, Brother Hayden, follow after charity. Follow after love. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:15, ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Follow not only peace, not only charity and love. It says here, I want you to follow after what is good. And I want you to follow after good, not just among yourselves in the church. He said, I want you to follow after good, what is for all men. Who? Follow what is good for all men. Does your boss at work know you're a Christian? Does your in-law / outlaw know that you're a Christian? Does your neighbor know you're a Christian? Good for all, not just for the body of believers. Oh, I know it says do good to all men, especially to the household of faith. I understand. But here it says, do good among ourselves, follow after it, and among all men. Follow it, pursue it, go after it. So are you following what is good? And then the verse we read in 1 Timothy, there's a list. I want you to follow after righteousness. Follow after righteousness. What's righteousness? Moral rectitude. Some people call it holiness. Some people call it righteousness. Some people call it living right. Follow righteousness. Are you pursuing righteousness? Are you following after righteousness? Are you pursuing it? Was she hard to pursue? No. Mine was. I was going to say follow after righteousness like you followed after your wife. Follow. Pursue. Go after. Can't tell you how many times she said no, but when I asked her out for a couple times in college. No, no. We're friends. I don't want to mess up our friendship. No. I didn't take no for an answer, Brother Eddie. And we've been married 35 years now. Pursue. He says, follow after. Are you following after righteousness? Do you love it? How many remember the old song, I hunger for holiness, I thirst for righteousness? Scripture says, hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you shall be filled. What kind of righteousness? Scripture says your righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees. Oh, my goodness. Go beyond what they lived? Brother Hayden, that's impossible. No, it ain't. All you got to do is do it from the heart. They didn't do it from the heart. They just do it from the heart. Nobody's making me live the way I live. Sister, I live this way because I love Jesus. I live not because of the standard of a church, not because of the creed of a church. No, no, no. I live the way I live because I love Jesus. And I want to please my Father. Amen. It says, be ye holy as your Father in heaven is holy. I want to please Him. I want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. What are you pursuing? Some people are pursuing position. Some people are following after a name. Some people are following after prestige. Follow after righteousness. It says not only righteousness, but follow after godliness. You go hand in hand. Follow after godliness. Godly. Godly. Does people know that you're a godly person? Is your word your bond? Do you have integrity? Do they know that they can trust you? Whew, help me, Lord. It's quiet. I hope that means you're listening. Follow after faith. Faith. Not just faith that saves you, but if you don't do it by faith, the Bible says it's sin. How many of you feel like you have to do like the Father in the New Testament? Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I believe, Lord, but help thou my unbelief. I've been there. I've been there this week. I say, Lord, you pray for a family member. You've done it in the past, Sister Teresa, and God is instantly healed. And in this time you pray, and 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 you still have to take them to the doctor. And you wonder sometime, brother, God, why don't you work the same every time? Why don't you move the same way every time? If he did, I think we would probably get comfortable. So God don't always move the same way every time. He doesn't always answer the questions that we ask and the prayers we pray the same way every time. Sometimes he says, wait. Sometimes he says, no. How many love that word, wait? Wait. Not in this society. Wait? No. No, I want to Google this and Google that and microwave this. And wait. Wait for nothing. No. We are. None of y'all are guilty. I understand. Follow. Why? Wait. Matter of fact, the next one is patience. Follow after patience. Endurance. Follow after patience. Lord, give me patience. Be careful what you ask for. If you ask the Lord for patience, you know what he's going to give you? Tribulations and trials. Because count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing they do what? Work patience, endurance. That's hard, isn't it? I don't want to go through that. I don't want to go through that trial. I don't want to walk through that valley. I don't want to. I want you to do it for me now. But endurance and patience, in patience possess ye your souls. Patience. Pursue it. Oh, Brother Hayden, you just hit my nerve because I don't have no patience. I hate to tell you this, but you're going to have to repeat the test. I heard one mother say, I prayed for patience and God gave me children. There's some truth in that. She could also say, I prayed for patience and God gave me a husband. Or I prayed for patience and he gave me a wife. Patience. Children of God. Christians. We cannot act like the world. We're in Walmart, and there's 10 people in front of us. And the line next to us has got 5. And then the cashier says, oh, we can't find that number, that in the system. We got to call somebody. Oh, nobody has road rage. There's no such thing as Christian road rage, is there? Hey, I'm just being practical. Is that okay, Brother Jones? I'm just being practical. And we know it's true. Honk if you love Jesus. That wasn't on my bumper sticker. I want a guy to get out of my way. He's not going fast enough. I get picked on in my family because I don't go no more than about 5 miles over the speed limit, no matter where I'm at. I don't like tickets, not had any tickets, and I don't want any tickets. I'm not saying I'm better than you. I'm just saying I don't like tickets. He said, work for patience. Follow after it. Pursue it. He said, I want you to follow after meekness. Meekness is the idea of gentleness there. Be gentle towards all men. As a minister of the gospel, been in the ministry over 30-something years, I had the scripture on my pulpit in Fayetteville. It says the servant of God must be gentle. Gentle. Oh, God, help me. I remember a brother in Gastonia made a statement, North Carolina, Gastonia, North Carolina. He said, if you have to preach hard, preach it with a tear in your eye. Let it break your heart. But you had to bring a message of correction. I don't believe this tonight is a message of correction. I believe it's a message for you to encourage you and challenge you to flee some things and to follow after some things. How hungry are you for revival? How hungry are you to see God move in this nation again? How many of you got lost loved ones? How many want to see them saved? I want to see them saved. How it thrilled my heart when I saw the man this morning dedicate his heart back to the Lord. It thrilled me. Thank God, thank you. I mean, he's got some prodigals in their family. They were in church and now they're out. You know what? God gave us a promise. God gave a promise to my wife and I, actually to our whole church. I don't know how many last year, year before last, 2 years ago, I forget now. Spirit spoke. He said, I will save your children. Whew. You know what I've been doing? Brother, I've been hanging on to the promise. Hanging on. And I go to the Lord from time to time, Brother Wesley, and I tell the Lord, your promise, you said. You know my loved ones that are lost. You said you'd save. I want to see them saved. Then we were at another church, and this man didn't even know what my wife and I had been praying. And he walked up to us. And as we were leaving the church, he shook our hands, and he said, the Lord said, tell you, not one will be lost. Sister Kristen, I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. Not one will be lost. I don't mean I'm going to see it in my lifetime, but I hope I do. You say you believe God, stuff like that? I'm telling you, God's promises are yea and amen. Amen. He does not lie. And if he spoke it, it will come to pass. I'm just holding on to it. Amen. So we asking God to do certain things for us. Help me, Lord. Follow after. And then it says in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace, but it says what? Follow holiness, which no man shall see the Lord. Flee. Maybe you don't have to flee any of those things. Follow. Maybe it's not on that list that I went over, but maybe there's some things God's been dealing with you. God made a promise in his word, if you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. How many is following after being filled with the Holy Ghost if you're not filled? How many is pursuing it? How many is hungry for it? Amen. Oh, Brother Hayden, that's past me now. I'm here to tell you, he's still saving, he's still sanctifying, and he's still filling with the precious Holy Ghost. Amen. I remember when I got hungry. I got saved when I was 8 years old. Don't remember when I got sanctified because I was raised in church, so it wasn't a crisis experience for me. I waited. Why, I don't know. And I waited to pursue and to hunger for and to ask for and seek for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But all of a sudden, church we were attending had a revival. And one of my friends that was going to high school with me got filled with the Holy Ghost. She was all excited. Well, guess what it did? It made me hungry. It made me thirsty. I remember the night I went to the altar. I remember it vividly because the evangelist preached and he gave an altar call, which we're going to do here in a little bit. He gave the altar call and I went down to the first altar call, got up, went back to my seat. He said, if anybody here needs a touch from God, come back. The altar's open again. I went back to the altar. And then he made a statement. If anybody here needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost, come back to the altar. Well, I'd already been twice. But I went back. And standing about right here in the Chesterfield Church of God in Chesterfield, South Carolina, I lifted my hands. He laid his hands on me. I began to speak with other tongues. I stopped. Brother Wesley, I stopped. But I was like, huh. And I tried my best to make it to my dad. My mom was sick that night and couldn't come to church. I tried to make it to my dad that was on his first or second seat. I never made it to him. I rejoiced. And guess what? I'm still rejoicing and still shouting now. Why? Because I'm still filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm here to tell you tonight, it is not once filled, always filled. Let me say it again. It is not once filled, always filled. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That is a continual filling with the Holy Ghost. It's not enough that I was filled when I was in junior high school. Am I filled now? Are you filled? Amen. I'm thankful I felt him this morning. I'm thankful when I got here early and knelt back over there in that corner, I felt him tonight. Amen. I'm glad he's real. And the Holy Ghost is not just for emotion. He is not just for me to shout. He's not for me to feel good in service. He is to equip me till I can go out and witness. I mean, Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. How many of you witness for the Lord? How many of you tell about the law to lost souls that need to be saved? How many of you pass out tracts? How many of you invite people to church? That's nowhere in my notes. I'm just here to tell, filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to get to the place where He whispers to me, I'll do what He whispers. The Bible says His sheep hear His voice, and another, they will not follow. Let me tell you something that happened to me the other night. How many have been sitting in a waiting room of an ER for a long time? We're sitting in the ER in Elizabeth City with our daughter Megan. We had already been there probably 5 hours. And I was in the waiting room. They were back because there was not enough room for me to come back where they were at. Sister Kristen, the Lord said, get permission to speak to this crowd of people. I'm like, Lord, I'm not in church. I mean, I can make all kinds of excuses. Second time, get permission to speak to these people. Third time, get permission. Speak to these people. I said, yes, Lord. I walked up to the desk. I'm just telling you what the Lord did to me. I got up, went to the desk, and I looked at the lady. I said, I'm a minister of the gospel. Well, can I speak to everyone in the emergency waiting room? She said, sure, go ahead. You don't tell a preacher that, by the way. So I just stood right there on the floor, and I said, I'm a minister of the gospel, and I want to let you know none of us want to be here tonight, but you are. And I'm here to ask you, how many of you want prayer? Do you know 2 or 3 families asked for prayer? And after that was over, 2 or 3 more families wanted to talk and chat and ask questions. And I'm telling, they're back there waiting on doctors and nurses, and I'm out there ministering, having a good time. Because the Lord said, speak. 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 Talk. When's the last time that cashier that looks like a, you know, looks like she's had a bad day at Walmart? When's the last time you spoke to her or him and said, "Hey, won't you smile? Can I pray for you?" Say, "You're radical, Brother Hayden." "That's all right. I'll be radical for Jesus." Walk by a sheriff, or walk by a security officer with his gun on his side the other night. Walked by him and I had a track in my pocket. Walked up to him and said, "Here, you'll get time tonight. Read this." He said, "Well, thank you. What are you doing, Brother Hayden?" "I'm just telling you, there's some things you need to do. There's some things we need to pursue. There's some things we need to be doing for God." And then he said, y'all still with me? Are we all right? Amen. He said, "I want you to flee some things. I want you to follow after some things. I want you to fight. I want you to fight. And I don't want you just to fight. I want you to fight a good fight. Not just fight, but fight a good fight." It says in 1 Corinthians 9:26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air." I like Paul. Paul said, I'm going to fight, but I'm not going to be someone that's just doing this. I'm not just going to beat air. No, I've got something to fight. It's called principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. And I can't fight them with my fist, but I sure can fight them on my knees. And I can fight them in the prayer closet. I can fight them in fasting. I can fight them with the word. Fight. Fight. And then he said in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. He said in 2 Timothy 4:7a, I have fought. Paul's getting ready to die. He's getting ready to lose his head to Nero's chopping block. And he said, I have fought a good fight. Can you say that at the end of your life? I have fought a good fight. I fought. Fight. Fight, brother. Brother Hayden. I'm shy. I'm backwards. I don't know. He said, fight. And he said in Hebrews 10:32, ye endured a great fight of affliction. And in Hebrews 11:34, he said, they wax valiant in fight. Paul, talking to his son in the faith, he said, there's some things I want you to flee. He said, there's some things I want you to follow after. He said, I want you to fight the good fight of faith. I wasn't going to go there, but I'm going there. Charlie Kirk's assassination this week. Brother Hayden, don't go there because he wasn't one of us. I don't care if he was red, black, blue, pink. I don't care if he was Church of God, Assembly of God, Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran. I don't care what he was. He's doing some things that some of us wouldn't even dare try. Because we're afraid to get out of our comfort zone. But I tell you something he did do. He was not afraid to name the name of Christ. I don't know the man. I never met the man. Not until recently. I'm not young. So, I mean, I didn't follow him that much. But what I've been watching, sister, what I've been listening to, I say, oh, God, give us some more with some boldness like that to stand and preach the gospel. Raise up some men in this church, in our church in Elizabeth City, that will be dare to go to a campus and say, ask me anything you want to. And then with the Spirit of Christ, answer the question. Some of us would lose it if they disagreed with us. Can we stay calm, cool, and collective and answer agonistic, aggravating, sometimes it may even seem like stupid questions, but because they need an answer, and they don't know, they need someone to tell them. Now, if you fall out with me because I've mentioned someone that's popular in the news right now, I'm sorry. But then again, I'm not sorry. Because I wish to God that God would raise up some men again that will dare to be different in a world of compromise and dare to say, I'm serving God, whether you like it or not. The Bible's the Bible, whether you like it or not. Truth is the truth, whether you like it or not. Marriage is between a man and a woman, whether you like it or not. And I'm going to love you, whether you like it or not. We need it, and we've got to have it. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't cower and run. We sing in a hymnal, I lost my flag in retreat. What does it say? I lost my flag in battle, but the staff is still in my hand. But the staff is still in my hand. I'm going to take it to Jesus. I'm going to take it to Jesus. Amen. You know what? I'm 58 years old. I preach. I teach. I go to a juvenile detention center every Tuesday night, and I answer questions for 14, 15, 16, and 17-year-old boys, and I sit there and sometimes scratch my head, Wesley, with the questions they have, but when I give them the Word of God. The other night someone said, that's in the Word, preacher? Oh, yes, it is. Let me show you. Been doing that for 6 months now on Tuesday night. I don't feel like going because I've worked all day and they told me I can't get to the jail until 8 o'clock at night because I've got to make sure they finish with their medicine and they finish with this and they finish with that and can't have that interruption. And I go there and I've got these young men sitting there in front of me and they're asking questions. And I'm like, oh, God, fill my mouth, fill my mind, fill my heart. Help me, God, to win these young men to Jesus. And you know what's neat to me? 95% of them is a different color than I am. And I think it's cool. This old white man talking to a bunch of black young guys. And I like it. You know why? Because the Bible says every tribe, tongue, and nation. There's going to be a representative there. Read in Revelation if you don't believe me. It's there. Every tribe, tongue, and nation. How many remember the old song when you was a child? Jesus loves the little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white. They are all precious in His sight. Amen. Amen. And I love them. And now that I've been going for about 6 months, now when they're getting ready to be transferred to another unit, Sister Teresa, they've been, Pastor, you're not going to see me again. I've got my sentence, and I'm moving to this county. I said, what county? They tell me. I said, oh, by the way, there's a church in that county. I said, when you get out, I said, look that pastor up. And I said, if you don't want to do that, I said, look me up when you get out. Brother Hayden, you don't know what you're asking for. Oh, I do. I know what I'm asking for. But you know what? If nobody else will tell them, then you be the one that tells them. Amen. I would rather go there sometime than some churches I've preached in. I'll say, Brother Hayden, you got a captive audience. They don't have to come to Bible study. They're not made to come. One night I went, and again, I wasn't going to go here, but one night I went, and the guards looked at me and he said, Pastor, they've been really misbehaving tonight, and we can't even bring them out of their cells. What do you want to do? I said, take me to the cell block. Take me to the cell block. What are you going to do? I said, I'm going to walk to each one of their doors, each one of their cells, and preach through the door. And that's what I did, Sister Teresa. I walked from cell to cell and preached through the door to every one of them. And the guards were like, you know why? Because they got a soul. They've got a soul. Oh, God, let us be hungry again for souls. When's the last time a soul been saved on these altars? When's the last time a soul's been saved in the church you attend? Oh, God. It thrilled me this morning when that brother rededicated his life. Fight. Fight. flee, follow, fight. I told the church once, and this was probably not fair of me to say, but as a minister of the gospel, I said, I hope I die in a pulpit somewhere sharing the gospel. I wasn't even thinking about the effect it may have on the congregation. I know I'm ready. I'm like, oh Lord, why? Because it's a burden. And I'm feeling it more and more. I'm feeling it more and more. Boldness. I'm not shy. You can ask my wife. I can talk to anybody. And God has did that for me because I used to be so shy, I'd rather take a zero on an oral book report than to have to give one. Can't stand being in front of people. And then God dared to call me to preach, Kristen. I'm like, well, you got the wrong guy. But since God's got a hold of my heart, I can't shut up. And I don't plan to shut up until I go up. And when I go up, I want to take some people with me. I want to have some crown, some stars in my crown that I can cast at Jesus' feet. I don't want to go empty-handed. I want to bring some sheaves with me. I want to keep some people with me. What are you following after? What are you having to flee from? And are you willing to get in the fight? Oh, Brother Hayden, but it's hard. It is hard, and it's getting harder. Sister, I plan to stay in it till I die. Brother, I've been down the road of thinking about compromise. I've been there. I've been there in the past. Anybody else been there? I've been there. I've had those thoughts. I've had that stuff come to my mind. I've had the enemy even put tempting offers in front of me. And the Lord keeps dealing and working and moving and wooing and pulling. I said, Lord, I know where I've got to stay. I know what I got to do. And I know it's not popular. But you know what? I won't stand before the president. I won't stand before Congress. I won't stand before the Supreme Court. I won't stand before Brother Woods. I won't stand before Brother Shane. I won't stand before Brother Derek. I'll stand before the Lord. And it will be Him who says, either well done, thou good and faithful servant, or depart from me. I never knew you. What are you doing for Christ? Are you making a difference? There's something I love about this church. A lot of things, but there's one thing I really love about this church. You're mission-minded. You're not afraid to give, to bless others. That's reaching the lost. Thank you. And even though it's been a long time since I've been on the streets of Fayetteville, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. The whole time that we were doing that, this church supported our outreach in Fayetteville, North Carolina, to the homeless. And I thank you. I still remember Shane and Brother Derek driving all the way to Fayetteville from here with a van full of stuff and didn't even have time to stay. They turned around and came right back after they dropped it off so that we could have stuff to take to people on the street. When's the last time you, what does it do when you see someone get saved? What it does do? What does it do to you? I feel like I prayed through all over again. Oh Lord, if there's rejoicing in heaven over the when a sinner repents, Brother Wesley, I hope our churches can keep heaven rejoicing. Also souls being saved. Amen. Thank you for your attention tonight. Thank you for listening to that. I feel like I've rambled. But I feel like I've shared what God laid on my heart. I know without a shadow of a doubt, there's some things in each of our lives, time to time, we need to run from. There's some things you and I need to be pursuing and following after. And you and I need to stay in the fight. There is no time to back up. No time to quit. No time to stop. I'll stop when my 10 toes are turned up. But until that time, I'm going to witness for the Lord. I can't do what I did in my 20s, Brother Wesley. But I plan to do what I can do until I can't do it no more. So as someone reminded me recently, when it comes to the Lord's service, you don't get to retire. You may have to shift focused. You may have to do something different, but you don't retire. So when I retire, I'll be in glory. And I've got the best retirement plan anybody could ever have. And it's not stocks and bonds. Amen. Sister, if you could come to the piano. I want us to do this tonight. Maybe the Lord spoke to you somehow in this message, whether in the fleeing part, the following part, or the fighting part. And if he did, I want us to find a place to talk to the Lord. I want you to pray until you're satisfied. I want you to make sure that if God has spoken to you tonight, that you talk to him and let him talk back to you until you're satisfied. Has he told you to do something and you're afraid to get out of your comfort zone? Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of your comfort zone. And let God use you. You know what happens to an eagle? If that little eagle that don't want to get out of its nest, mama will start making the nest uncomfortable. She'll start turning twigs up, and if a little eagle don't want to get out, then she'll throw it out. And then she'll swoop down, catch it. What's she doing? What's she teaching him? You don't belong here. You were made to soar. You were made to fly. You're an eagle. And finally the little one gets it. And all of a sudden, there to tell you, sister. As she plays softly and sings, I'm going to go to the altar. Because God's still working on me. God has asked me to do some things that I've put off for over 6 months now. I didn't want to do. I don't want to get involved. But I have to. So this week I plan to sit at my desk and rewrite some letters that I was going to send out. Have my wife proofread them and correct any grammar or whatever. She's better at that than I am. And I'm going to mail them out. And pray over them before I mail them out. And pray that God will open hearts to the truth. Say, Brother Hayden, you do stuff like that? I have. This is God, not me. Not me. I want to share one testimony and we will pray. How many of you remember when Princess Kate was diagnosed with cancer? If you keep up with the royal family. I don't. But the Lord said, write her. I I don't know how you write a letter to royalty. I'm a country boy from South Carolina. So I Googled, how do you address royalty? How do you formalize a letter to royalty? And I wrote her a letter. I guess about a month or two after, I got it in my office. A postcard from Buckingham Palace thanking me. I started not to do it because I don't feel like I was qualified. But if God asks you to do it, He'll help you do it. He'll help you do it. Are you willing? Use me this week, Lord. Use me on my job this week, Lord. Put somebody in my path this week, Lord, that I can talk to. Are you willing? Are you willing? Let's find a place to talk to the Lord tonight. I appreciate your attention. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.